I heard of you, folks. It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.
What's happening, beautiful people? Unknown Preacher LA. It's your boy Lonzo, aka LA, aka Mr. Nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And guess who's with me this morning? Pastor Bernadette Martin. How are you, Bernadette?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm hanging in there, hanging in there. I'm going to send this, just give another reminder. We're bringing the power of praise to Fresh Anointed Tabernacle Deliverance in Henderson. More to come on the talent. Again, so far, emceeing this event is our very own poet, D.S. Will, Christian rapper, Sosa Brown, and Nick is Christian rapper, U-House, gospel singer, our very own Natasha, gospel singer, our very own Muna. And this week we added two more artists to the program, Christian rapper Miles B and gospel singer Humble. Again, more to come. Man, Bernadette, I wish you could come, but you're on the other side of the country for the most part. But
I know. When is it?
It is, oh, wow, that's very important, right? March 7th, that's on a Friday night. Thank you. I got to put that out and make certain I don't forget to say that next week. Anything new going on in your world?
No, not really. Just adjusting to a few things.
Yeah. I know how it is. I know how it is. Hey, I was thinking about this. So I'm in the middle of this book titled The Black Church. And it's a great read. It talks about, you know, this is the oldest institution owned by African Americans and just organized religion and the history of the Black Church. But it gave this great example. And I was thinking about it because I had Pastor Nate Davis on the show a few weeks ago. And we were talking about attires in church, the dress in church, but they gave an example of, like, you know, especially in the Deep South, how you would go down the street and easily be called the N word. And, so the church was kind of like this safe place where, you know, you put on the suit or the dress and wore the hat, and all of a sudden you felt like somebody after you've been dehumanized in society. So it was a place where you just felt good. So it seems like, and let me back up. I'll admit that I've been a little critical, not much, but a little critical of what I saw as kind of a dress competition in the church. But in this scenario, it just resonated with me that, hey man, in this cloud of oppression, our attire in a sense is like therapy, right? So it just made me look at this and see things very differently.
Yeah. As you were speaking about the attire, and the things that they endured through the week, it made me think back to earlier last year, mm-hmm. when I had a board of examiners class, and he was talking about the importance of worship. And so in the African Methodist Episcopal Church, we do the call to worship. Mm-hmm. And so the minister, whoever is leading the call to worship, will say, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Mm-hmm. Our feet have been standing with that within thy gates, O Jerusalem. And so as Reverend Granberry was teaching that course that day, he talks to us about the importance of the call to worship. It's not just something that we say. It's not just something that we do out of redundancy or habit. But he was saying, you know, when our forefathers and our ancestors, when they got to church and they said they called to worship, they said, I was glad when they said unto me, because of all the stuff that they had been doing. You said, you know, they could just walk down the street and be called out of their names, and how you think about how so many of them were working jobs.
Yeah.
And nobody gave them the respect that was due them. And so when you get to church, there is a different, there's a different feel. There's a different environment where you can be called Mr. and Mrs., you know, Mr. and Miss, and be respected for the person that you are. So when you said that, that prompt, that thought, and yeah, we dress our best. You know, it's, I think people dress up because you think about how back in the day, how even going to their children's school, they dressed it a certain way. Yeah. You think about how teachers used to dress. They took pride in their appearance.
Yeah.
And it mattered how they looked. And, you know, they just didn't come at the house any old way. Yeah. And so, I have to check that one out. Is that by Henry Louis Gates Jr.?
It is.
Okay,
it
yeah. Is. I have Stony the Road. I've read that one, so I'll pick that one up and start on that one, the Black Church.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? You said I left that part out, but he touched on that in the book too, like being called Mr. and Mrs. And that's important. And going to your other point, I do remember in middle school where they had this strict policy. We couldn't have our shirts outside of our pants. We had to tuck our shirts in our pants. And we were just protesting it. And he was an African-American male. He was my science teacher, Mr. Walker. And he was breaking it down. And he was talking about how studies show that, you know, your attire, you know, it does make you feel good about yourself, but it's also a mechanism to control your conduct. Like if you dress up, you're less likely to get into a fight, or I mean, you feel good about yourself. So it's just interesting, and that component, because I really, again, I wasn't too critical. I just was always worried about dress being a distraction sometimes, you know, because you get so focused on who has the most banging hat or who has the nicest suit. And but it just really did change my perspective. So I have to concede on my stance.
Yeah. And you know, kind of some things make more sense when we realize where it came from and, yes, you know, where it started. And
Absolutely. Hey, so today our guest is our very own Teresa Tyler, and she's talking about her nonprofit. And I just thought it was fitting to have you on here with me because you two have been on a number of panels together on the show, and she yeah, thinks the world of you. And I was like, man, let me get Bernadette on this one. So I'm just looking forward to the conversation with her and, you know, the importance of charity, because we all know that in the Bible, there's an emphasis on charity and the way, you know, to love others. And it's like this in continuous effort to improve not just our lives, but the lives of others who are in need. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, same here. I'm like you said, we've been on some panels together, and I hold, you know, Teresa, I think she's doing a great work. You know, it's always good when we're on the panel together. Yes. So I'm excited to hear this episode and learn more about her nonprofit.
Yeah, she's amazing. Like all of us, juggling so much, and you yourself, man, I don't, you know, I say, I don't know how you do it. And then I know some people say the same about me, but we get it done through, you know, God's hands on all of this. So that's who's really working, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Any final words before we close to commercial and then hear from Teresa?
No, none at this moment.
Well, I thank you again. We thank the world of you, man. Your spiritual wisdom is always just a blessing to the show. And when we come back, y'all, we will talk to our very own Teresa Tyler. This episode is brought to you by the Black Farmers Hub and by Peanut and Zeb's Grocery Stores. Both serve as a platform for Black farmers and food and beverage makers. Inspired by their family legacies with a mission to provide a platform for Black and brown farmers, support their work by visiting thesweeterjuice.com as they consistently advocate for food sovereignty and assist with alleviating food apartheid. The Black Farmers Hub and Peanut and Zeb's Grocery Stores. All right, beautiful people, we are back, and we're so happy to spotlight our guest and her nonprofit organization. As I always say, we truly believe in spotlighting community service. So my guest today, no stranger to the show, she's been a panelist more than once, and we truly consider her part of family. Founder and CEO of Power Inc. Community. Please welcome to the Unknown Preacher LA, Teresa Tyler.
Hey, yes. So it feels good to be back. Thank you so much for having me.
No, thank you as always, man. I just always love your vibe when you're on the show, man, the energy, and you always keep it real. So I'm just looking forward to the conversation.
Yes, me too. It's always good to connect with you. I tell you all the time, I'm so glad that God, you know, picked you to give us a safe space where we can just talk about what he's doing through us and how we serve. And I just want to thank you, because every time I leave, I feel more inspired and faith-led. So thank you so much for having me.
Oh, that's so humbling. you know, thank you, and God be the glory. It is so funny, as you were saying that, I was thinking, I was like, how did we connect anyway then? Because I remember when I first reached out, I definitely wanted to spotlight your organization, but then there were some openings for some panels I was doing, and you just kept chiming in before I could even put you on as a guest. You know, you were on panels with me, so it's just funny how things work out.
You know? Yeah. I remember us being on the phone. It was just, I think we were just both passionate about the subjects that we were talking about. Yeah. And we both understood like where it was coming from. And sometimes I really truly believe in divine connections.
Me too.
And sometimes it's hard to talk to others, you know, when you truly believe in God. And I'm not perfect at all. You know, I tell people I feel like I fail daily, but God continues to give me grace. But I just think for me, it's so hard to talk about, you know, just have real honest conversations about things. Because, you know, social media is just... It's just different.
Very, very different. And that balance, because I was having a conversation with a friend and we were talking about like the radio interviews, and I'm so thankful that our podcast is on the radio. But what I love about the podcast is just so it's more conversational. In the podcast, you know, we could go on and on, you know. That's what I love about it. So Man. Hey, so Power Inc. Community, what's the goal of the organization?
So Power Inc. Community, also known as Parents Owning Wealth Through Education and Resiliency, our main goal is to make sure that parents feel as if they're not doing life alone. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that they know that we're here for them. Because being a single parent is hard. I don't feel like it's a topic or discussion that is talked about daily, but the things that we carry as a single parent while raising kids, knowing that we are in a different time. Some of us are trying to come, you know, going through healing journey, as well as trying to navigate our kids on their healing journey. So trying to figure out who we are and just knowing that we're not perfect, but with all power and with power, we can do this together. So our goal is to make sure that we continue to promote or foster resiliency, and then also just make sure that we remind parents of who they are. Just really help them get their power back, make sure they're confident, make sure, you know, and just let them know that they are being seen and heard, and know that here, this is real. This is where parents are really owning everything through wealth and education. And sometimes it just comes with mindset, letting them know that they're not by themselves. I think that is what our goal is to continue to let single parents know that they're not alone.
Wow. I absolutely love that. I'm immediately going to like support group mode when you say that. That's what I'm thinking about. Mm-hmm. That is, 'cause we need each other, whatever you're doing. And sometimes you need a voice, and you need like-minded people, like experienced people to understand what you're going through. So I think it's commendable. And there's just so many single parents punching the clock every day, doing everything they can, but it's still not enough.
It's not enough.
Wow. I love it. Now I know nonprofit. This episode is brought to you by Kingdom Harvest Church. Help founders usually have a frame of reference, like some type of spark, I guess is the word I'm looking for, something that started them on this journey, like something that makes them passionate about their cause, because I knew from day one you were just so passionate. And so I know that there's a story behind the passion. So what's your story?
Yeah. So it's so funny because you're right. I'm passionate. And I'm true. I really become a true advocate for the single parent community because this is the life that I truly live. Yeah. And I experience it daily. And so Powering Community, what allowed me to turn my pain into my power, or more so my purpose, is that I was visiting actually a support group in a ministry. And I was talking to other single mothers at the time. Two of them were married and others were two single parents. And basically we were just talking about the things that we need. We talked about our mental, you know, the load that we're carrying. We was talking about burnout. We was just talking about, you know, the lack of resources, financial literacy. We were just talking about how to budget and save, the type of accounts we need for our kids. We was talking about us returning to school, but not having a village, making ends meet, working jobs, afraid to quit jobs because we really want to take care of our kids. So having to choose between our job and our kids. So just really talking about education and mental health. Right. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, I need to talk about I need to figure out a way or how God can use me to share my story, the things that I endured, and then also try to help single parents. Because, you know, when I had my daughter at 27, she's 10 now, she changed my life pretty much. It really showed me what true conditional love is, what it is to be selfless. Like, our kids are so innocent. I feel like at the end of the day, sometimes I tell people all the time, she don't listen to me. But at the same time, she really does. She really listens to me. But I think for me, it really started when I was trying to find my power, you know, taking a leave from law school. Of course, my daughter saving my life. I remember like wanting to commit suicide. I remember like losing faith in God. And then it was God bringing back my friends. My friends reminded me who, you know, who I am and, you know, my voice and the people that I've connected to. But I was trying to figure out, why did I lose it? I was upset because I felt like I lost everything, but then I had gained everything I needed. God was like, this is your biggest blessing, and it's going to change your life. So really gaining my power back, going through so many barriers, losing everything, having to start over. And that came with that spark. Like, if I can get through it, I can help others get through it. I can tell them what I did to help me gain my power back, help me take back over, of course, with the walk of God and my purpose. But how do I do it? And so at the time at Raleigh North Christian Center, under Apostle Jeffrey Chapman Sr., he was talking about our vision for our life. And then he talked about how many lives that you can save by telling your story. So I'm like, okay, I don't want to go another year the same. right? I got to figure out my purpose. Yes. And so in 2018, the Power Inc. community, it was established. And it was established based on the fact that I really felt like I had a voice to advocate for single mothers, single fathers, because I have friends or male friends that are single fathers that's taken over because of, you know, things that are going that, you know, mothers have going on. Mm-hmm. Then I have foster care parents. And then I also have caregivers. My mom is a caregiver to my brother, but she's also a mother as well. But she's also a caregiver due to his illness. So it's just like so many things that came together, and I knew that I have access to these resources, right? Although there are still some barriers stacked against us, right? I would never give up trying to make sure that single parents have full range of what they need to thrive, because I feel like the way the system is built is only built for us to survive, right? It only lets us go so far. And so knowing that I have access to certain people, certain communities, certain organizations, I'm making sure that I am no longer at the table, that I'm in the room. Mm-hmm. I'm advocating for the single parent community. And so that is pretty much how PowerEnter Incorporated Community was founded.
That is just such an impactful story. And I can't believe this is my first time hearing it. There's so much to unpack there. And I also, so when I hear it, I think about number one, and I don't know about you, like, for those of us who grew up in a single parent home, I think I was 12 when my mother remarried. So, but by 12, you're pretty much who you are for the most part. And so it was just my mom and my brother, sister, and me until then. So you can relate to that. And then the other part, which I didn't know either, is what you said, you were contemplating suicide. Yeah. And I'm going to say this to get off track just a little, but
you can. Let's do it.
No, what surprises me, Teresa? I've had so many guests, and so many of them on the show have said they've had suicidal ideation. And it's like, I don't know. I just can't wrap my brain around it. Like, there's so many people who are suffering in silence, and it just seems like we should be doing more. So I just love what you're doing and what the organization, and you talked about the organization too. So I know it takes money to keep it moving. Do you have any other organizations or people you want to spotlight who's been there to help push your organization forward?
Yeah. So first and foremost, I want to thank God for every time I threw in the towel, he threw it back because I didn't want to do the organization at first. But God was like, in order for me to take you here, you got to start here. Yeah. And so I want to thank him. I want to also thank my mom. She was also a reason in it. I don't say it as much as I should. My mom had me at 16. So knowing that, you know, she was still a child, she had me at 16, and though that there are still a gap and barriers for a lot of resources for single parent community is so mind blowing to me, right? That is something that I am also researching and navigating daily in these spaces that I'm in, but I'm just like, wow, she was 16. We're still here with, you know, certain things in the government, you know, the income base is still here. It's just like, what? And so knowing that gap, right? Yeah. Another thing is, I like to thank my board, right? Mm-hmm. I started off big, but God gave me who I needed. And I want to take a moment to thank them for believing in me. I think when you are really a nonprofit, that's what it is. It's not much funding. But I remember one of my friends, but she's also my line sister, Valencia, assisted me with getting started. She is also my secretary and also my director of operations, but she's also the best godmom in the world to my daughter. I also have Sade Thompson. She is my president. Katona Thomas Briggs, he's my vice president. And then I also have Nicobe Burke. She is my director of education. Wow. Programs, initiatives, anything I need. And then I think for me, just really having a solid board, truly believe not in your mission and vision, but just also you. I'm grateful for them. Each and every one of them brings a gift to the nonprofit, and just to see how it's working through them, it gets me emotional because their growth over these five years. And I'm also like really big, like, hey, you guys, I have this community or something I want to do tomorrow. And they like, oh, okay. Well, let's figure out how to do it. So I love that about them as well. I also like the thing we did, Project Harmony. I know we would get with this later on, but I like to thank Remnant Church, that is Pastor Ron Dozer and his wife, April Dozer. They stepped out on faith with us, and we did a community-wide baby shower. I want to thank the North Carolina Central University for assisting us, partnering with us with the the Power Scholarship Gala. Mm-hmm. We had a gala where we was able to assist two single parents to school. So we'd like to thank them. Shout out to the Campus Enterprise in North Carolina Central University. We did a Mother's Day makeover where we was able to partner with some makeup artists and some stores. We did a Father's Day giveaway with Justin Watts. I want to thank him every year for just allowing me to come in that space to speak to not only single but married fathers, just about parenthood. Right. Yeah. Sometimes we have single married dads, and sometimes we have single married moms. So for me to just be in that space was also, you know, amazing. So yeah, back to school drive with Durham County. So it's just so many people that I would like to recognize on this platform. Just, you know, Target, Smith Anderson Law Firm. It's just so many people. You for just allowing me to get up here and just use my voice. Because every time, it's not all about funding, right? I am really big on partnerships. Yeah. I think we're in a time when people really do not believe in building a partnership. So I think for me, I'm big on that because I never know when I'm going to need somebody or they might need me. So really building a solid foundation. I would like to thank Ken Branson. He's a videographer, photographer. I've been dealing with him for like, I think like 17 years with partnerships. Like I call him tomorrow, I'm like, Ken, I need a photo shoot. You know, like just having that partnership and then also connecting them with other people, also seeing what they need and how I can help them thrive in any way. So I just like to thank them.
So, yeah. Wow. Man, you're my hero. So you're oozing with leadership. You know that, right? You know, so many people standing behind you, and it just speaks volumes. You have to trust and believe in that person and that person's vision. So kudos to you. And you mentioned programs. So let's talk about some of your programs.
Okay. So I just mentioned some of them. So parent support, so we have parent support, we have community outreach, we have mental health and wellness. And so, of course, we have educational programs. So Project Harmony falls on the parent support. That is where we are providing baby necessities and resources for expecting parents. So we did that last year. Of course, when it comes to the education, our empowering program for single parents who either want to continue or pursue their education, of course, that falls on our Power Scholarship Gala. So that we do have Unplug Motherhood support groups, Unplug Fatherhood support groups. We'll be also kicking off more events where we are really like out in the community together. Some of that is virtual. You can find that on our page. What else do we do? We have mindful walking there's just a time for us to get together in May where we are doing a mindful walk, but also having like real intentional conversation about parenthood or just how people are doing with their mental health. We also have the Safe Circle, which is a resource hub. It's a summer program we do for like a week for parents. We have different like therapists come out and talk. We have principals from Wake and Durham County to come talk to parents about different things that's going on in the school and how to get an assistance. Like when you can't talk to them during the year, this is that time for you to get on and ask your questions. Yeah. So we have that. It's so many other things. We are also invited to, I want to thank Empower Her Destiny. That is a nonprofit organization out in Maryland, where their organization really focused on our Black and Brown girls, just helping them with confidence and just knowing who they are. They'll allow us to come sometimes to Maryland. They're inviting us to conferences where we can really focus on our caregivers, because I really don't think people understand how much support our caregivers need. And I see that daily with my mom. So I really want to thank them for allowing us to start building on that partnership.
Yeah.
So I really want to thank them. So that's some of our programs that we have. And then we're also going to bring back Wisdom Warriors, where we have different community leaders and come in and talk to, you know, more of the fathers, but uncles or potential fathers, just about, you know, a safe space for men and fathers to just come together and have real open, honest conversation without women being in the space. So, yeah.
That's a lot. I mean, you
a lot. Yeah.
You're doing it. I tell you, I know there have been a couple of times I asked you to serve on a panel and you were hosting a conference or in school. I'm like, how does she do? You know, people talk about me. She's definitely juggling a lot of balls in the air, man. And so tell me about some of those conferences I know you've hosted in the past few months since you and I have connected. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have one coming up with A Fire Her Destiny. It's really going to focus. It's like a safe space or a conference that will really focus on our Black girls and our Black moms, but more so our motherhood. We as Powering Community will focus on motherhood and our caregivers, maternal health, just issues that they may have. We're going to bring in a facilitator, a licensed therapist to help us navigate that session. Yeah. I've attended a couple. Our goal is to host a parent conference that is coming up soon. You are the first to hear it. But we're going to host a parent conference where it actually be more of a resource fair. Focus on more of a financial literacy side. And then, of course, with the mental health, it becomes like your purpose with power. So just really helping you find your purpose. So, yeah, that is coming soon.
Wow. So I would just, this little brain is the wheels are spinning and I don't know what your schedule is like, but I have a parenting panel coming up. And I definitely would have room for you. We have to talk and see if our schedules line up. I know you're doing so much, but I think you would bring so much to the table. Wow.
Just let me know. You know, I'm always honored. I'm grateful for you. So yes.
Man.
Yeah, you can put me up here.
I appreciate you. Yeah. You're doing your thing. And you talked about long-term goals of Power in Community, but what's the short-term goal? Like, what do you need right now to get over that next hump?
Funding. Let's just be honest. Funding would be great. Getting grants is truly, it's hard. It's hard writing them. We recently just lost our grant writer. I'm so grateful for Ashley, who also served on our board since she's been with us. But, you know, due to her new job, just conflicts. We also have a divine connection. But I think the biggest thing now is just funding. So taking that time to really find time to do the grants on top of everything else. But knowing that God has definitely placed me in spaces where the money is getting ready to come. So other than that, I think more than ever, I would just say funding right now at the moment. We are definitely working to finding, you know, a space for power. So that is also something that we're looking into, like where we can host more of our programs. So that's something. But short term right now, funding. And then we're getting ready to kick off our financial literacy series. So those are our two main goals, funding and getting ready to kick off our financial literacy for the Powering Community family. So I'm excited about.
You said fundraising right now. I love stories. So tell us about your first fundraising event. How did you put it together? What were some of the challenges and all of that good stuff?
I think when it comes to any type of fundraising event, I think it all comes down to timing. When you want to have it, what quarter you should have it in. I think our target audience is definitely the single parent community. So we really try to think, okay, so me, when they're asking me questions, because I'm a single parent and also another board member as well, what day would y'all want to do it? Right. Like, you know, what time should you do it? Will they have access to be able to get there? You just think about so many things. So when it comes to hosting these first fundraising events or just events or workshops, we want to make sure that we're really giving our single parent community the opportunity to actually have access to what we have.
This episode is brought to you by Manna Ministries. Manna Ministries, an initiative that focuses on extending our reach beyond the walls of our church to touch the lives of those in our community and beyond. So let me say this. This initiative aims to share the message of Christ's love through various forms of outreach, addressing both spiritual and practical needs, right? Focusing on providing essential services that enhance the well-being of individuals and families, and reflecting the servant heart of Jesus Christ. Visit us at mannaministries704.org. Manna Ministries.
But basically for fundraising, it really comes to the quarter. Like when we can have the event, the spacing, the funding, actually creating a budget for it. Will, you know, our families be able to afford this? How do we go about maybe getting more funding so the event can actually, a program can be free and still be able to provide the essentials or the tools in order to, you know, have this event? But right now, coming up this first quarter, everything will be focused on financial literacy. I think this is a time more than ever for parents to learn about budgeting, because as you can see, so things are changing with the government. So really assisting our parents about their intentions of how they're spending, how they're budgeting, what they may need in order to thrive or just, you know, be able to afford to, you know, financial assistance, groceries, you know, their job, childcare, just so many things are going on. So just making sure that we are setting them up for success to thrive. And so right now for the first quarter, we'll be focusing on financial literacy.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And so that made me think of something else too. What advice would you give someone thinking about starting their own nonprofit?
Interesting question. I would say do a lot of research. I know when I first started, when I expressed interest to someone about the nonprofit, they really tried to talk me out of it. But I could not shake the feeling. Like I could not, I feel like I was, like you said, it was a spark and I could not get rid of it. I thought about it all day. You know, when I wake up, when I go to sleep, like if I'm sitting still, like I'm getting a pen and I'm writing, and then I'm also praying to God, okay, who can I talk to about this? Who should I go to about this where there won't really be anyone talking or projecting their fears on me or trying to talk me out of what you're calling me to do? So I tell any advice I would give to anybody, you know, pray about it. Make sure it's on your heart to do. Just knowing if you're going into a nonprofit looking for money, can it get there? Yes. But starting off, it takes time. I tell people research, 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 right? I think that's the most important thing I tell people every time, research, right? There's so much information out there for you, but make sure you do your research. Make sure you want to do it, because it's a lot of work, right? It's not all about what you see on social media. There's a whole lot of work running, navigating, just running an organization. It's really a lot. So just making sure that they are in compliance. There's some board of governors. There's some training. Make sure you know the laws for the state that you're in. All that matters. Make sure you have an operational budget. Make sure you have a board. But make sure you also have some committees. So it's so many things that I can tell them. I feel like just one setting is not enough. But that is basically my goal, is to help others start their nonprofit. So I'm definitely looking into that, because I get asked questions all the time. And so,
I bet you do, because they see you doing your thing out there. For real. My antennas went up when you said something earlier about changes, you know, in and laws and rules when it comes to grants. And so I'll add being able to adapt to that too, because you're going to have to learn how to navigate through those changes, because whether it be through an administration or, you know, just rules in general, the economy, you're going to have to be able to figure out how do I need to adjust our calls and our methods to request and receive money, right?
Yeah. And it's hard, but I really tell people those partnerships. The partnership that you build with these community leaders and other organizations, like even in your ministry, at work, you know, at first I used to be scared to talk about Power Incorporated Community. But then when I started talking about it at work, you know, I realized I work with a whole lot of single parents. And then I also work with some single married women. And just basically trying to assist them with navigating that space and just, you know, also being mindful of what I say. But to know that they was like, oh, my God, I wish I had this growing up, or I wish my mom had this.
Yeah.
Like, here's people that's trying to get us in other states. But I'm like, you know, I just can't jump to a state. I can't start a chapter there. You know, there's some things that you have to go to, or, you know, there's a process for all of that. But I'm honored that we are getting out there and that people not only, you know, see us, but they hear us and they know that we are truly advocating for the single parent community. And so it used to be just be afraid to talk about it in certain workspaces, but it's needed more than ever now. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, I thank God for your boldness and that courage, man. I talk to a lot of people who have nonprofits. They always talk about the lack of volunteers and how many more about, but it sounds like you kind of got that thing under wraps. You got it on lockdown. What did you do differently to get the volunteers or the number of volunteers you have?
Well, first and foremost, I really, I think about who's in, who I'm connected to, right? I will, of course, we talk about it on the board, but then we all just reach out to people in our network. You know, that's how it starts. It starts with the people in your network because they know you, they know your mission, they know your vision. And you start with the people in your network. Of course, there's so many platforms that maybe you can use. Of course, there's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, fan base, TikTok. There's so many ways that you can get volunteers. I mean, of course, it's on your website, but there's so many platforms where you can get, you know, volunteers to volunteer for you. But I think for me, because I want to be able to, you know, be in my network, and I know there's so many, you know, people or individuals in my network, but like, I really love what you're doing. How can I help? When they do that, I go to notes in my phone and I write their name down. Cause I was like, okay, such and such asked me about when the next time we do Project Harmony, her job, she would love to come. She would like to set up a booth. I'm gonna write her name down. Right. And so that's how I kind of build up our volunteers. Now for the Power Scholarship Gala, I really feel like I built a partnership with two of the girls. They booked with North Carolina Central, one of them, North Carolina Central. And then she asked her friends and they were available. They wanted to come anyway. And they wanted to buy a ticket to support. And they really believed in what we were doing. And that's how I had four volunteers. And she was the coordinator. She had her friends there and they were literally running, you know, that part of the gala. So my board, we didn't really have to stress. And remind you, that was, you know, they were first time volunteering with us and they were amazing. And so after that, I asked her, I'm like, so would you love to be our volunteer committee? Yes. Let me know what you need. So that's how you really, I tell people, it's really all about true connections, genuine connections. It's all about partnerships and relationships. And I think that is something that we are getting away from. I don't really think we take the time to really sit down and get to know the other person and what they need. And so, like you said, you reach out to others sometimes on social media, you love what they're doing. And so you have this platform for them to come. So I never know who might see this video or, you know, our podcast and be like, okay, well, let me reach out to her because I might have a resource for her. So it's all about who, you know, how your organization is out there, but I truly believe in relationships.
Yes.
Right. And honoring those that help you get there. And then you have them. I just really want all of us to win. And so I truly believe that relationships matter. And so for anyone that always, you know, feel like they're struggling with volunteers, reach out to your network, reach out to your friends. And sometimes your friends might be like, hey, unfortunately I can't help, but I know somebody, right? So just, you know, your network.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great advice. And out of humility, I know you wouldn't add, so I'm going to do it for you. I think, and I knew this when we first talked, you're just a genuine person. Like when you're easy to connect with, you're easy to trust. And I think trust is really big. And so when they meet you, they hear you talk about your cause and they're carrying that same flag because they believe in you. And it's just some people. Well, I'm not going to talk about other people, but you're just genuine. You really come off as someone who really, truly cares, and you're really trying to make a difference. So I am just honored, glad that we did connect and that I'm able to, you know, play my little bit of role in kind of spotlighting all this great work you're doing.
Yes, such an honor. It's always an honor to know that I'm in a safe space and I can have a real conversation about, you know, what I do and how we're doing it. So yeah, I thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. So I always close by giving my guests the last word, anything they want to talk about, any upcoming events they want to really spotlight, or words of encouragement, whatever they want to say. And so handing it over to you.
Well, first and foremost, as always, thank you so much for, you know, taking your time out of your busy schedule and just allowing me to come again in the safe space where I can always talk about my purpose or my pain that I turn into power. And that is Power Incorporated Community Parents Owning Wealth Through Education and Resiliency. Again, everyone, my name is Teresa Tyler. I'm the proud founder and CEO of Power Incorporated Community. Yeah. We are, again, a nonprofit organization that offers, you know, a safe space for single parents to come and just have that conversation with us about the access that they need when it comes to education and mental health resources or initiatives. So we're here for that. You can find us on all platforms at Power Inc. Community or at Power Inc. Community. You can also send us an email at info@powerincommunity.org. You can also check us out on our website at www.powerincommunity.org. And you also follow me on all social media platforms at Teresa Tyler. So thank you so much. Stay tuned. We have so much coming to you all in February and March, this first quarter. And this is just the beginning. So thank you.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, Teresa Tyler, thank you, my sister.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown Preacher.